You're listening to The Writer's Corner, hosted by yours truly, the Record's chief editor, Desi Stevens. Lorraine, how do you say your name?
Lauren.
Oh, that's an interesting spelling for Lauren.
I know. I should have told you how to pronounce it, but everybody mispronounces it.
Oh, okay. Well, Lauren, that's a lot easier for me to remember and to pronounce correctly. So Lauren, you have recently wrote a book called Freeing Your Heart for Love. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So I wrote my book in April of last year and I finished in December. It took me about 8 months, but I had talked about it for over a decade with my friends, just jokingly, because as I would tell my experiences to my friends, they would all tell me, you should write a book. You should write a book about your life. You should do a movie. And people were fascinated with my life experiences, even though I was so depressed about it inside. It seemed like it was like entertaining people for some reason. And so I just kind of laughed at it because I wasn't good in school. I don't read books. I found out that I'm an audible person. So I do good with audiobooks, but I'm not like reading books just doesn't stick. So I get frustrated and I just put it down.
Oh, so you do the more auditory learning. Yeah, oh, okay. Auditory.
And I didn't figure that out until I started writing my book. So I've never been a book reader. So I was like, well, I can't possibly write a book if I don't even read books. And I hated English. I hated doing paragraphs and anything that has to do with writing. I just wasn't a writer. So in April of last year, I joined this virtual writing workshop and I just was just filled with so much emotion that I just was doing writing prompts about my life and sharing it with people on the call. And I just started writing my book. And I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was going to write about. I just knew that I wanted to write a book to inspire others who are going through similar struggles that I went through in my life. So my book is basically written in 4 parts. It's a memoir and it's written overcoming severe suicidal depression, 3 failed marriages with multiple relationships in between, but ultimately finding self-love and true happiness. And so that's what my book is about.
Oh, okay. So was your story explicit? Like it was, what is your story? Give us a rough summary of what your story is about.
My journey starts at the age of 16. I don't remember a lot of my childhood. So I didn't put a lot of my childhood and I was, as I learned more about the writing process and the challenges that I was joining, the writing challenges, you don't want to write about your whole life. Nobody wants to hear about your whole life. So, I basically broke it down into my 3 marriages. And my fourth, I write it in 4 parts. My fourth part is my transformation of how I started loving myself and found my true love, which is my husband now. Which is my happy part. But the first 3 parts are just about my 3 failed marriages and sprinkled experiences in between of, you know, struggling to be a single mom, a young mother, finding my career, getting involved with unavailable men, giving my body to men because I thought that would make them love me. So really kind of valuing myself and figuring that out after 29 years of doing that behavior my whole life of that type of stuff in my life. And that's basically what I wrote my book about because I didn't know what I was doing to my body or myself or my soul until I was married to that third guy that had the illicit fantasy
That's what it was. I'm trying. I know you figured out that I'm trying to remember our conversation. I know we had a conversation before, but like I said, I lost my notes. I didn't know where my notes went. So, okay. So that's now I recall us completely. Mm-hmm. I am so sorry. Like, I feel horrible for not remembering exactly. I've definitely had a lot going on, but, other than that. Okay. Now I'm back on the same page with what's going on. Okay. So I do apologize for that. So what's it like writing stuff like that? Like, you have to feel pretty vulnerable. Like, I know I try and write more like emotional stuff like that, but I mean, it's really hard putting yourself out there like that. I can't imagine what it would have been like. How was that like for you?
That was really hard. That's a good question, because I asked myself that question when I started writing this book. And, you know, I got my outline together. I knew what I wanted to write about. But then I thought to myself, do I really want to put this all out there? I mean, this is a tell-all book. There's a lot of experiences in there that nobody knows. Now the world will know, especially the third husband, because I was really ashamed. I was ashamed. I was a mother of four, you know, and it's like, when you're doing that to yourself and you're a mom and you're supposed to be responsible and do the right thing, that wasn't the right thing. You know, my husband wanted me to make love to other men in front of him. And that was something I was never going to talk about. I was going to take that to my grave, you know? And when I had to write about that, that's the third part of my book. That was the hardest part of the book process. I actually started meditating to get through it. And I took a lot of breaks. I set a goal every day to write at least 300 words a day, but I took breaks during that part of writing it because I had to bring out, I wanted to take the reader to that experience of what I went through. And so I wrote it in very sexually explicit. There are sexual content in there because not to make people feel bad about sex experiences, but to bring them to that moment and be a page turner, you know, like bring them to that experience so that they can see how far I've come in my fourth part of my book. Is that third part was really my rock bottom. I hit my rock bottom and I wanted to bring the reader to make them feel that with me so that they can see how I transformed and how I became the person I am today. So that was the hardest part of my book, definitely.
So one of the things that I've always been concerned about, and I've actually struggled myself, was how much of myself to put out there. And I think that every author, when you write memoirs or if you're blogging or you're, you know, a mental health advocate, I definitely am a mental health advocate. It's really hard to find the balance of preparing yourself for the inevitable backlash, I suppose. I hope that you have a supportive group that are supportive followers and stuff like that. But have you had any experience? You've got your book back. It's in your, are you selling? Because I know that you got your hardcover back. So you have it on sale, which you can go ahead. Where can our listeners find it?
Yeah. So I have a website that I just launched. It's under my name, which is laurenpatterson.com. You can find the book there. It's actually only for pre-order now, but if you pre-order it, you get my first chapter for free. And you know what I've been doing? I know that every author goes through the naysayers and the trolls, right? But my editor said it well. And he said, because I was crying to him one day because I thought, do I really want, somebody had given me some harsh feedback, my book coach. Me and you talked about this, remember?
Right.
And she said she couldn't coach me anymore because of the sexual content that I put in there.
Which was totally that whole circumstance. That was weird.
That was hard. That was really hard for me. And I was crying that day to the editor and I almost gave up. I said, do I really want to put this book out? But it was just one person. I haven't had any comments like that since then. But the editor said, you're going to have the bad and the good. It comes with every book, every author. And so what I've been doing is really kind of, I think I mentioned to you, I practice nature and Buddhism. So I've been kind of diving into my spirituality and what I want to put out there to the world, the energy that I want to come back for this book, the people that I want to reach. And I've been doing that. And I've been getting a lot of positive comments, a lot of people in my tribe that are coming in, following me on social media. They're all very positive. They all support me and they all know what my book is about. They haven't read it in detail, but I feel like in my heart that this book is going to help people and that I will have the negativity, but I'm building my courage and my strength up to be able to deal with that when the time comes.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing too. I have noticed myself, the more I try and put myself out there online, I have noticed myself also becoming more in tune with other aspects of myself. So that's a really good idea. I've never really thought about meditating, but I mean, I have and I haven't. It's mostly about, for me, finding time. So, but I have other outlets that I use. Yeah, I use gardening a lot.
Meditation is amazing. I never meditated and I came across this challenge and ever since I did that challenge, it was for 7 days. I meditate religiously every morning. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 20, but just being in that stillness and I use guided meditations because like I told you, I'm audible. So the guided meditations just brings me back to that place and I'm grounded again. And I just, it like transforms my whole day. Like I can't go without meditating. And
so for you, meditating would be like for somebody else, like their morning workout routine.
Yes.
Like getting them pumped in the morning and getting them ready to go. I like that. That's cool.
And I do that along with practicing my Buddhism and I pull angel cards every morning. I'm connecting with the angelic realm now. And there's just this daily spiritual practice that I do.
What is angelic realm?
So like I have tarot cards, angel tarot cards, and I have oracle cards. That's an angel cards. And they say that when you connect with your angelic realm, which is the guardian angels, that you start communicating with them, you start connecting with them, and then you pull these cards and they're communicating through these cards. And like the messages are all spot on. Like sometimes I'll have a specific question. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just ask, what do I need to know right now? And I'm pulling the same cards. There's no possible way that you can shuffle, and then you're pulling the same cards.
Right.
So I'm like, this stuff's amazing. And you know, it's all online stuff. I watched a author named Kyle Gray from the UK and it was like, he was speaking to me, you know, and I just started following him and I bought his Oracle deck. And that's where I started learning about the angels and how you can connect with them. And it's just like the internet is just a wide variety.
The internet is amazing. I'm in school and I'm going to divert a little bit here. I like to go off on tangents. So we're learning about evolution right now. Cause I'm taking a physical anthropology class and I just did this really awesome paper on bonobos, which are a relative of the chimpanzees. Oh. Holy cow. You can teach them to actually communicate.
Wow.
Like it's totally like I went cause I was doing the research paper. So I found the first article that I found for my bibliography or whatever. It was this book. I found myself just reading the article. I was like halfway through the book. I'd been reading for hours, not even doing what I was supposed to do. It just sucked me in. So I ended up having to buy the book. It came yesterday. So I get to read a book on apes and the ape language program was what it was.
There's actually a language.
Well, so what it is they're trying to discover, and it's controversial. Like there's a lot of scientists that believe in the empirical evidence and with people that are not, I mean, it's more like a dance type of thing. It's more like a cohesion, but anyway, they're trying to see if bonobos can actually develop human language or language as humans would. Okay. So be able to understand and converse. And this whole, like, I could talk about this for hours right now, but I won't. But essentially it's bonobos have the capacity to learn and develop language like human children do.
Wow.
So, and it's controversial. Like some scientists, there's a larger population that wants to ignore it and say, no, only humans can speak human language because they're animals. Animals aren't supposed to be able to evolve that way.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of, but yeah, it's, I don't know why I started talking about that, but it was really fun.
I watched Planet of the Apes, so I believe.
We used to have, the world used to be essentially a planet of apes.
Yeah.
About 27 million years ago. Again, I just learned that today.
Yeah.
So.
I used to watch the old Planet of the Apes. Remember the old show?
Uh-huh.
Like the original uh-huh. Planet of the Apes, not the movies. I used to watch it like all the time. I was fascinated by that show.
I like apes. Apes are cool. We're apes.
Yeah,
humans are in the ape yeah. primate family. So we're just hominids. But all right. We like diverted. I don't even know what we were talking about before.
We should both blog about apes.
Right. We're going to do a little blog about apes. That'd be fun. So yeah, let's try and get back on topic here. Writing. What else can we talk about with writing? You were writing, talking about mental health. I'm trying to get back on topic. I have no idea where we were.
Yeah. Self-love. I talked about
self-love.
I shared my third marriage and mm-hmm. how that was hard. That third part was hard for me to write. You know, and just like writing the book, like finishing it. It was, even when I finished it, it was like, I don't know if I want to put this out. There was a lot of doubt, like,
right?
And I was
so I would
like...
think that writing fiction, I think that's probably why I chose to start writing fiction. Like, I write personal stories sometimes on my blog, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like, how much do you all really want to hear me whine about how my emotional status is? Like, I feel after a few minutes or after a few of them, I feel like, okay, well, I've already bitched about that.
You know what I noticed?
I've already said this.
Well, you know what people want to know is they want to hear your story, your experience, but then how did you transform? How did you overcome it? And I talk a lot about overcoming my severe suicide depression. I share that a lot. I share because I feel like mental health needs to be talked about more, you know? Mm-hmm. There's not enough people talking about it. They want to give you medicine or they want to, you know, they don't want to address the core problem. And I never had help. I seeked therapy, but I didn't have a mom or a dad to go to. I didn't have mm-hmm. siblings to talk to. I didn't have a lot of friends. So I was like dealing with this alone and I almost took my life in my 30s. So, you know, I want to share my experience and be vulnerable with what I went through, even the way I gave my body away to men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like a lot of women talk about it. And I feel like
if
I can be that really voice, then maybe other women will wake up and say, wait a minute, that's happening to me. I don't want this for my life. She did it. Maybe I can do it.
Right. You
know? And so that's the reason why I'm so vulnerable. And I kept going back to my why of why I wrote the book, because I mm-hmm. want to inspire somebody. I want to help somebody. And once I go back to my why, then the book was done. And I was like, okay, phew, it's done. It's out. Like,
so
it's out to the world.
So what was the editing process like for you then? So one of the classes that I'm taking, and the reason I'm taking it is because I need feedback on my writing, and it's really hard to get feedback in the writing community unless you pay money to do it.
Yeah.
Like, people just don't have the time to give feedback. So one of the reasons I went back to do classes was so that I could take a creative writing class and get feedback on it. And I'm noticing that I think that I write really creatively, and then I get a lot of, so you could totally use a better metaphor right here. Let's rearrange this and say it this way. Like, did you get a lot of feedback like that?
Yeah, when my editor, I found my editor on Fiverr. I actually shopped my editor because the editing process was really important to me, because I wanted to put out a really good finished product, a very polished product.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through 3 rounds of professional editing with him and a proofreader, but I self-edited first. So when I went through editing with him, it was a guy. And first of all, I wanted a girl, because I don't know why. In my mind, I'm like, if I have a guy, is he going to be biased against my story? You know, because it was really about, it wasn't bashing men, but I do talk about the experiences I had with men. So mm-hmm. is because he's a guy. So that was all in my head. But then it ended up him being a great editor, and he gave me some very good feedback. Like, same thing, like, oh, maybe you should, this sentence right here is too fast. I think you're moving too fast here. You need to slow it down. Tell the reader exactly what you went through here. And so it was those types of things. And I got frustrated because I'm like, I am not writing this book anymore. So by the 3rd round of editing, he was back at me again. And I was like, no, I'm not changing it. No, I'm not changing it anymore. So I just put my foot down. But then when I went through proofreading, I had like 300 corrections. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, the editing process for me was like really hard. That was the hardest part for me, because I was like, wow, I don't even know how many more times I could touch this book.
Well, I mean, it's just what I find is how many different ways can I say the same thing?
Yes.
And everybody
has a different opinion. Like every editor, even the proofreader, wanted me to change some of my sentences. And I was like, no, I already went through professional editing. I am not changing this book. I'm done.
As my grandfather used to charmingly say, everybody has opinions. They're like assholes. Yeah. Everybody's got one. And it's a constant, like, oh my gosh. So our English class, he makes us do workshops weekly, and we have to edit two people's pieces. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a weekly thing. So it's forcing us to teach us how to critique other people's work. Mm-hmm. I have never gotten so much feedback on my work in my life for free, but it definitely was like really worth it. I'm trying to see if my teacher will actually be on the podcast, because absolutely love his class. I didn't realize he's younger than me. He's like 20 years younger than me.
Wow.
So I think he is anyway. I don't really know how old he is, but I went and referred to, do you remember the Great Mouse Detective?
Yeah.
Like Radigan from the, yeah. Was it Radigan from the Great Mouse Detective? No, Radigan was Neverending Story. No, I don't know who Radigan was. I don't even remember what story it was anymore, but he didn't know who it was. And I was like, how do you not know who Radigan is? And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I'm like really old. But he goes, I don't know who Radigan is. So you need to, that was one of his edits, was you need to describe him more. And I was like, well, I thought I described him. I called him Radigan. Everybody knows what Radigan looks like.
Not everybody does. Yeah. I talked about my pants, wearing two pairs of jeans. And when my editor read that, he goes, what does that mean? I'm like, oh, okay. He doesn't know what that means. So I had to explain, I wore two pairs of jeans when I knew my dad was going to come home with the belt and spank me. So that's the detail I had to put in there. So I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, you got to lead a little bit more. And I'm noticing though, because I'm forced to do it, I have to rewrite things because he edits things. And all right, rewrite it. Mm-hmm. All right. I thought I was
going to.
We're doing poems right now. I hate poems.
Oh my gosh.
Poems and me do not get along.
I don't blame
like
you.
I have to write an ode next, and I don't even know where to even start. So I'm gonna write an ode to the ood. I don't know if you know what the ood are.
No, it sounds.
It's from Doctor Who. It's one of the alien creatures from Doctor Who.
Oh, nice. That sounds interesting.
So I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm like, I can't even take writing poems seriously anymore because I suck at them so bad.
Yeah, I don't do poetry well. I love reading poetry, but I can't write poetry.
I can't even read poetry because I'm staring at it, because it's always so abstract. To me, it's always so abstract. And I'm just like, okay, well, you suggest this here, but this could also mean this. Uh-huh. And then this could be this. I'm like, God damn it, I need more context. Write out the novel. Don't tell me in a poem.
Yeah. Or haiku. Have you ever tried to write a haiku poem?
Oh God, no. I would have done it for one of my assignments, but he wanted 12 lines. And if I wrote a haiku, I would have had to write 4 haikus. Oh, no. I was like, I'm not doing that.
I Googled it. I Googled how to write one, and it was not good.
No, I've seen James May. Do you know who James May is?
No.
He is a British TV personality. He used to do a show called Top Gear.
I know Top Gear. Okay. I love Top
Okay,
Gear.
So Richard or James May, he was he was Captain Slow. He's the sensible one.
Okay.
So he does a show, or he's done a couple of spin-off shows, and one of them he had to write a haiku. Mm. And that was a very interesting episode. Trying to write him, watch him get through writing a haiku.
Oh yeah.
Our Man in Japan. It was what it was. Our Man in Japan. Dude, they should get me like advertising for these. I'm like promoting other shows on here.
I do that a lot too on my on my Instagram.
Y'all should watch this. It's funny.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else to talk about, and I feel bad.
No, that's okay. I mean, we talked about everything. You wanted to know more about my writing process, so I feel like we hit all those points.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. My semester's almost over, though. My semester will be over in May. So I'm like ready for it to be done. And I got a call from my counselor. I'm going off on different stuff that's probably going to be edited out now. But
or you can leave it in.
Or I can leave it in. Who knows? It might be entertaining. We'll see how it goes in a few months. In probably the end of May, when I get to editing this one, I'm probably going to be like, oh my God. What are you doing? You were crazy in this one. I guess you can go ahead and give your website address again.
So my website is laurinpatterson.com. So LORRINE Patterson.com. And everything that you need to know about me is on there, including the book. And you can follow me on Instagram, which is at Writing Is My Kismet. And Facebook is the same handle. And I'm on Twitter, which is LP Is My Kismet. But all of that is on my my website too. So yeah.
My Kismet, where did that come from?
So
my Kismet.
I wanted another word for destiny. And I looked it up, I Googled it, and I came up with Kismet. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna use Kismet. So I just came up with Writing Is My Kismet. And I actually came up with the pen name for my book. I was going to be Kismet Tearson. And I loved that name. But then everybody told me you're writing a memoir and you need to come out from behind your book. You know, you need to use your real name. You need to use your real name for your website. People want to know who you are, not Kismet. And I'm like, but I want to be Kismet. That was such a cool name.
So what you could do, just a thought, if you ever get into like writing short stories or writing a novel, since you've already written your first book, you know, it's more creative writing a novel. You can edit it another 4 times or 3 times or whatever and be done with it.
Yeah.
But that would be a perfect pen name. You said would take something.
Kismet Tearson.
Kismet Tearson. I like that.
That's
a good, it would be a good fantasy name. Or like a sci-fi.
I want to write a fiction book. Like, I think I want to try it because I'm very creative in my writing. I think like the sexual content, like I really got creative in that part, but I feel like I can write a novel, like some steamy, sexy novel. I don't know. I was thinking about that since I was really good at writing it for my book. I was like, maybe.
I would totally help you brainstorm for that. I have like a million ideas already flying in my head.
I am going to reach out
super,
to you.
Yeah. I am super, like, I love brainstorming with people and giving people ideas. And
thank you.
Keep my information. And if you were ready to brainstorm, we will definitely brainstorm together.
Thank you. Cause I have more books in me. I don't know if I want to stay nonfiction, but something is pulling me towards fiction. I really want to write fiction.
I think you should do it. If you have the desire to write it, I definitely think you should do it.
I do. And I'm also going to be a book coach. I'm going to do this program to be a book coach for fiction. So that's why I'm leaning more towards fiction because I really want to try that.
I started writing novel. I've been working on my book that I've started a million times for like 12 years. Something like that, between 10 and 15 years. I don't even know at this point. And it's still not out yet. I've got a first draft of it though. I just haven't actually. I've got a first draft. process.
What stops you from finishing it?
I get I don't organize myself enough. Shocker. I'm not organized. I'm trying to be better about it. But I'm scatterbrained. I get like my brain moves faster than what I can handle when I'm trying to write out stuff. And so I'm like Doug from Up, like, oh, squirrel type of thing. So I'm learning to outline everything, like every little detail. Oh, there's my kid.
Hi.
Every little detail.
Okay. Yeah, 18, 19.
He is 17. He just turned 17.
I have an 18-year-old. Yeah.
He's getting ready to be a senior next year.
Yeah, my son just graduated last year and he's all over the place. My son works at Target, but he's just going through it. He doesn't know what he wants to do. And he gets mad at me. It's like, dude, that's where he's at. It's not my fault you won't get up off your butt and go figure it out.
That's right. That's where he's at. He wants to get into more into like streaming and stuff like that, and like being a video game tester and things like that. So I find that I've been working on him for God knows how long. And I'm like, dude, you got to figure out something because senior year.
Yep.
And then you're going to be 18 and you're going to have to figure out a job and all that fun stuff. But I tried to get him a job at Target, but they're not hiring at Target up here.
Yeah, my son worked at Panda. He hated it. He hates Target too.
I used to work at Panda. I worked at Panda when my two middle ones or my two older ones were really little.
Yeah. Mm-mm. He hated it there. But now, you know, he's just kind of, I'm going to charge him rent. I was like, dude, you're going to be 19 in May and you got to figure it out. You cannot just freeload off me for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's what we told my oldest too. It was like, okay, well, so this is what happens when you turn 18 and you graduate from high school.
Yep.
You can stay here if you're not going to go to college and you need to get a job.
Yep.
And that's you will pay rent.
That's what I told my son because he dropped out of college. He was in college. He said, it doesn't interest me. It doesn't excite me. Okay, then go get a job.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to force him to go to college. I mean, if it doesn't interest you, I'm not going to waste my money. Please don't make me waste my money. At least you're upfront and honest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not interested. I don't want to go. Okay, cool. Well, then you got to start hoofing it.
Yeah.
Start making that money.
Yeah. And he makes a lot of money and I'm only charging him $500 for rent, which is not a lot.
Nope. Nope. Not at all.
So yeah.
Well, it was amazing talking to you. I have to go and get more homework done.
Thank you so much. It was nice talking
to you. Yeah, it was great talking to you. I'll talk to you soon.